the book of Luke, chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. And I'll read the first 2 verses. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his 2 sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his 2 sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. My friends, tonight for our thinking, our title is Bitter, From Bitter to Better. From Bitter to Better. And it's all in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, friends, is a very great story. And the story is so great that even up to today, the Jews read it every year during the Pentecost. Up to today. And the Pentecost is a feast of weeks where the harvest is just beginning. They read it all over because of how great this feast is. And the reason why they do that in part is because it is the turning point in the story, and then what happened at the barley harvest. That's where the whole turning point is. I'm sure most of you know the story about Naomi and Ruth and what happened in Bethlehem when they returned. We'll get there. So this is how come they always mention this story, read it during the time of the harvest. But another part of it is also because of that it begins in sorrow, but it ends in joy. As I've already said, from bitter to better. It begins in sorrow, but it ends in joy. In the book, there are plenty of suspense, there are plenty of emotions, of passion, of tension, a whole lot of, and even drama in this whole story. Friends, even though this book, the story deals with two individuals, named Naomi and then Ruth, during the days of the Old Testament, the book is far more bigger than that. Even though they are the two persons that are mentioned here, the book goes far, far, far than that. Through this book, you can see the mighty hand of God in the life of his people. How God mysteriously works in the life of his people. How God turns bitterness into bitterness. You see all these things in the book. See how, as we read in our hymn, how God behind the scenes works in for us that we can't see, but in the end, he will make it clear unto us. Now, fundamentally, the book of Ruth is the story of redemption. If you read through the whole of Ruth from 1 to 4, it's a story of redemption. And the word redemption or redeemer or redeem is mentioned more than 20 times in this book, in this 4 short chapters. So it is a story of those who were weak and helpless that were brought to the point of security. And it's the same like us. When we are redeemed, where people were needy sinners, were weak, we couldn't have come to God, then Christ comes to redeem us. The picture is clear about this too. And really, the book of Ruth is a true story of two desperate women who find themselves in a hopeless situation, and yet they are brought back to a place of hope. Same like us. We live in the world full of sin. We have no God, we are an enemy of God, and God comes to redeem us, give us security, and give us hope. And even in this world, he will be with us, and then when he comes, he will take us to where he is. So all these things are learned from the book of Ruth. So they were brought back to a place of hope by the kindness of one honorable man, Boa, who we'll talk about later. And he had to restore all their fortunes when he had lost. He lost the husband, the two children, and everything. But in the end, we'll come and see what he gave. And it's a story of hope also. If any one of us is going through any situation, it's a story of hope. That whatever you are going through, so far as your heart is clean before God, whatever you are going through, God is using it to make you a better person. So it's a story of hope. And it's also a story of restoration. We are restored from our fallen state into a state where we have now have a relationship with God. So it's a story of restoration. And this happens at so many levels, this restoration. We'll look at a few of them tonight. Like I already said, this book has so many dimensions or so many levels of the book. At one level is a story about Ruth, how he was restored. Ruth was a Moabite. Remember, Moabites were like outcasts because of what happened between Lot, the incest that happened. So for some time they were forbidden to come to the assembly of the Israelites. So they were people that were, say, defiled people. And yet, through her, the promise of Abraham came to this Moabite woman. It's a very wonderful story. So at one level, the story about Ruth and how he was restored, how he find God and come to live in Israel. It's the same as us again. We were Gentiles, we were defiled, we could never have come to God, but through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have now been reconciled to God. So we are also restored to life. Ruth grew up far from knowing God. Like I said, he grew up in Moab. So there's no way he could have known God. But in a mysterious way, God brought him to lead the people of Israel and become one of his people. And at another level, it's also how Naomi was also restored to life. How he endured a bitter life, and then he was facing a big future. There was nowhere to turn to. The husband was dead, the children were gone, he was living in the land of Moab, a land of pagans. He had nowhere to turn to. But in a wonderful way, God restored her to life. We learn from chapter 4, verse 15, how God restored Naomi to life. As I said, she traveled to a foreign land with her husband and her two sons. And then the two of them died. So he had little hope. He had no hope at all. But the hope was restored through the kindness of God. She was sustained in her old age. When all was lost, God sustained her. So Naomi was also restored. Now, on another level, the book is more than a story of individuals who encountered bad circumstances. But it's also a story how the entire nation of Israel was also restored. We'll come back to that later on. About how Israel was restored. When the story begins, it was talking about the state of the people of Israel, their spiritual state. They had backslidden, they were worshipping idols, everybody was doing according to their own way, there were no judges, there were no kings, and then God had to restore them back to life. So the book is also about how the whole nation of Israel was restored. And even in this book, we can also talk about the Messiah. It's also anticipated in this story, in the person of Boaz. We talk about that, how Boaz also came to redeem Ruth from the family of Naomi. He was the only one who was willing and able to restore Ruth and Naomi from their desperation to hope. Remember when Naomi was coming with Ruth, he told her, "If you are going with me, you are going to live under the Levitical law. You are going, and I don't have at my age, I can't bring forth for you to marry them. You know, in the Levitical law, when a man dies, it is his kinsman who should take over the woman, marry the woman, and bear children for them. So that is a way of also redemption. And that's what Boaz did when he married Ruth, and through him, they had a son, and we all know the story that came all the way to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's a book of so many dimensions, so many levels, as we have just learned. So in the case of Boaz, we are seeing the picture of Jesus, who is our true Redeemer, who was willing and able to redeem us from our sinful life to a fruitful life, if only we believe, by merely believing. That is one of the levels of this book. And one of the grandest levels of all, however, is a story about God and His sovereign, mysterious workings in the life of people and in the life of nations. How God works. It's amazing. The human mind can never comprehend. And yet that is what God does. This is one of them. We saw how He was bringing them from Egypt, the miraculous way that He brought them, how they crossed the Red Sea, how they crossed the Jordan, how they broke walls with just going around of them. They saw all these things. And here we are going to see again the mysterious way that God worked in the lives of Naomi and Ruth to bring them. So this book is a reminder of all that, even though things may look bad, things may look grim, God is working His plan. If you are going through a problem that you can't understand, know that once you are a true child of God, He's working His plan. And He will make it clear to you sooner or later. So the book of Ruth is a story of those who walk through difficult times and eventually see light. Like I said, believe it or not, there are connections between us in this day, the story of Ruth and our life. And so it ought to be a story that gives us hope and points us to life. It's a story that we can learn so many lessons from, because as a true Christian, Christ has said that we will go through tribulation, we will go through suffering, but we should know that in all of them, He will be with us. So we'll see what happened here. The theme of the whole of Ruth is that, and He shall be unto thee a restorer of life. That is stated in chapter 4, verse 15. God will be unto us a restorer of life. But in order to be restored, you first need to fall. Because you need to fall so that you need a restoration. If you are not falling, there's no need to restore you. So there has to be a fall before the restoration. And that is what we encounter in the first chapter of Ruth. We encounter a fall. Ruth had to fall. There had to be the dark day before the brighter day. So here we are going to see the dark day, what happened to Ruth, and how in all of them God delivered him. From verse 1, we can see famine, as we have just read, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. So here is given the historical context of the whole book. He said it was in the days when judges ruled. And we know this was one of the darkest periods of the history of Israel. And if you look at the page, the very last book in the Judges, you will see that the nice summary is there from Judges chapter 21, verse 25. It says that in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no king. So everybody does whatever he thinks is right. And really, it is very appropriate that this story of Ruth follows directly after Judges. It shows how things were, and then how God brought them back to life. It was days of spiritual decline, as I've already said. Rather than following the Lord, they were following idols. And whenever they do that, God will allow their enemies to conquer them, fight them, and take them away, or He brings famine, as the case may be. Especially when they were worshipping idols of agriculture, God would touch their land so that their land would not bear fruit. But they would know that those gods cannot do anything for them. He is the Father, He is the Creator. So He brings famine. So this particular one, we are not told what brought the famine. But then, if you look at the story, it could be part of the punishment for their worshipping idols. But in any case, whenever that thing happens, Israel becomes desperate. They will come to the Lord. They will plead for mercy. God will forgive them, bring a new judge to rule them. And then things begin to fall in place again. And then when that judge died, Israel will get worse again than even before. But God, being compassionate, will always bring other judges to rescue them. That was what was happening. This up and down was going on to the land of Israel. So it was in one of those days that this famine came upon the land, as we read in chapters 1 and 2. Verse 1 says there was a famine in the land. And when we talk about famine, it is about because that was their main means of income. It was a time of like economic difficulties, economic slowdown, as we are experiencing in our country now. We are going through economic challenges, and that was what they were going through. Famine means there will be no food, there will be no money, and even sometimes death can happen. And that was what they were going through. And for the famine to drive a man and his entire his wife from their country to go and live in a country where they see them as a defiled people, says that the famine was very serious. And there was no hope. So this man and his wife and his children had to leave their home, seeking something better. In reality, they were seeking to survive. Otherwise, it would be difficult for them to leave their own country and travel to such a place. And you know, such a decision is not easy. To you and your family live where you are living, to go and live in a foreign land just to survive, it shows you that the severity of the famine. Because in the family, you don't leave your homeland unless you are very, very desperate, unless there's a compelling situation or reason for you to leave your home. And secondly, to go to a land where you are only seeking to survive. You are not even sure what is there, and yet they left and went to that place. And thirdly, as I've said, for an Israelite to travel to Moab will be even more difficult, because we know who the Moabites were. For 10 generations, they were not allowed to even come near the people of Israel. They were prohibited. They were counted as outcasts. And yet that was where Naomi and the wife and the husband and the children went. To the famine here, we can see that it was a very serious one. Where they come from, Bethlehem, Judah, the meaning is called the house of bread. And yet, they travel over 50 miles to find a new life in the land of Moab, to look for bread. They were living where a land which is called a land of bread, to go to a place to look for bread. It is not a desperate situation. It shows you the severity of the drought. So now we have seen the famine. We are talking about the dark days, what Naomi and Ruth went through. Talking about their dark days. We have seen famine. There was famine in the land, which means there can be no money, no food, people were dying. And then they had to travel all the way to. Then, when we get to verse 3 and 5, we talk about death. Famine has sent them to Moab. Now, while they are in Moab, now they are also facing death. Please, I want you to just picture the scene, or what the headache that this family were going through. Now, they arrive. Four people arrived in the land of Moab, and soon after, the father died. Now, the children become responsible for keeping the family. And in those days, it was in the times of when men were the breadwinners. So now these two children were to take care of their mother and their two wives, the whole family. Because, as you can see from verse 4, they were old enough to take this side, because they were married. they have married, so it means that they were old enough to be able to take care of the family. They married a woman, the other one married a woman called Orpah, and then another one married a woman called Ruth. And they continued there for 10 years, seeking to survive in Moab. 10 good years. And then the two of them too died. Soon the family was left with three: Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. You can imagine what was going on in their house. Three women having to take care of themselves. I'm sure by that time maybe Naomi would be in her 50s or so. So they live in a very serious situation. The men who would take care of them were all gone and left only three women. And this must be a very, very, very hard situation indeed. And I'm sure Naomi will be asking questions, will be asking God questions. What have you done this to me? Why did you bring me here if you knew my husband and my children were going to die? I'm sure all these questions will be going through the mind of Naomi. The same way it may be going through the mind of Ruth and Orpah. Like if God knew that their husbands were going to die, why did God even allow the marriage in the first place? I'm sure they'll be wondering about all these things. But now, as in all the other verses of the book, there's no answer. The book does not give us any answer. But all we know that it is the hand of God. It is God who was doing all these things. And in the Bible, we have a similar situation with Job. Job also went through a similar situation. He was a wealthy man, very prosperous. He had a very large family. And he was also a God-fearing man. He feared the Lord. And then in one night, tragedy strike and he lost everything. First, the Sabians attacked the servants and they killed them all and ran away with his 500 donkeys and 500 yoke of oxen. Job chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. He lost all these things. They attacked his servants, took all his donkeys away. Then the fire of God from heaven, and burned up his 7,000 sheep. And the servants who were shepherding them. Job chapter 1, verse 16. The fire from heaven burned his everything. Then the Chaldeans came and made a raid against those sending to his 3,000 camels and killed all of them and the camels. Job chapter 1, verse 17. Then verses 18 to 19. A great wind came from across the wilderness and attacked the four corners of the house. When his seven sons and his three daughters were living, 10 children were living, and it fell on them, and they all died. This is Job, a God-fearing man, and yet God allowed all these things to happen to him. All that Job had was taken away from him. And what did he say? Verse 20 to 21, Jesus had the answer. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If it were to be in our days, even in those days, his friends were saying that he had committed some sin. Otherwise, God would not allow these things to happen to him. That is what is going on in our days now. When calamity befalls, oh, this man is evil. He has done this. But no, this man was a God-fearing man. He had done nothing wrong to God, and yet God allowed these things to happen. And because of that, because he knew it was from the Lord, as I've already said, if you know that your heart is clean before God, whatever happens to you, you should know that God is using it to make you better. And that is exactly what was going through Job's mind when he said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken. He didn't know why this thing took place, and yet he trusted enough in the sovereignty of God, that he came from his hand, and then he worshipped God. And it was the same thing Naomi too did. Naomi too knew that this was the hand of God, and yet he also worshipped God. In chapter 1, verse 20, it says he continued to walk with the Lord as well. In chapter 1, verse 15. So you see, as a Christian, calamities will come, things will go bad in your way. But God is using that to make you a better person. If only you believe in Him and you trust in Him, you trust in His sovereignty, He had the power to stop everything. But when he allowed it to happen, then you should know that it is for your better. But in the case of Naomi, he was under pressure. There was nothing he could do. He was in a Moab land, surrounded by pagans. What can he do? I'm sure the pagans will be saying that you trusted in your God. Now look at what has happened to you. Why don't you come and trust in our God? Maybe they will protect you. All these things were going on there. But what happened? Naomi was saying that in all of this, I will return to Israel. Because he had heard that the Lord had visited them. The famine was gone. Now bread was available. So he decided to go back to her country. And that is where I'm heading to from verses 6 to 18. The return. We have seen famine from verse 1 and 2. We have seen death, verses 3 and 5. And now we see return. Verses 6 to 18. Look at verse 8. Verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord has visited his people in giving them bread. So you see, Naomi's reason for his return to Israel was there were too many reasons. But figuratively speaking, there was no reason for her to stay in Moab, as I've already said. There was no reason at all. The husband was dead, the children were dead, living in the pagan. There's no way he could have joined them. The only available thing for him to do, for her to do, was to go back to where she came from. Especially when they are saying that there's food in abundance there. Now I want us to see the sovereignty, the sovereign hand of God in this whole thing. It's so subtle, but then it is the truth. Throughout the whole book, it is the Lord who is doing all this. He is behind all these things. So God is in a way, providentially, he's working his way in the life of people. As we are aware that the Lord had visited his people. It's not the same thing that happened in Egypt when God heard the cry of the people in Egypt and he sent Moses and the brother to go and deliver them. When they went, they told them that God has seen your affliction and he has sent us to come and deliver you. The same thing. Now God has seen the affliction of the people of Israel. Now he has cut off the famine. Now there's food in abundance there. So Naomi how to go there. God has now shown his kindness to the people as he showed to them when they were in Egypt. It is the same thing that happened in Exodus chapter 4. In there, we read that God had visited the sons of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, that they bowed down and worshipped. When Moses and his brother told them what they did, they believed what Moses had said, they bowed down and then they worshipped God. And it was rather a very good time for her to return. So Naomi leaves in Moab and then heads for his hometown of Bethlehem. At this point, I believe that it's best for us to read exactly what went on there. In verses, from verse 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters in law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters in law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord be kindly with you, as you have dealt with me, dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, will ye tarry for them till they were grown? Will ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it giveth me much for you, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth
cleave unto her. And he said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone. He's gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking into her. So you see what is happening now. Now Naomi is going back to her country because the Lord had visited her. And normally when somebody is traveling, as a sign of respect, we see them off, either to their cars or to the station. So that was exactly what was happening here. Ruth and Orpah were going to see their mother-in-law and then to say goodbye to them. And then they go to a place when the mother-in-law is saying that they should go back to their own country because there's nothing for them where he was going. And these girls who said no, they want to go with him today. Then this back and forth, they were going on until Orpah decided to go back. But Ruth decided to go with Naomi. And all these were the workings of God. God has a great plan for all these things. And when we say Ruth clave unto Naomi, see the word it's like cling, as how in the Bible it talks about a husband and wife, how they cling together. She became one with the woman. The Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one. That is exactly what happened. Now he has joined with Naomi. Where she is going to die, she will die there. When she will be buried, she will be buried there. You can imagine somebody from a strange land saying he wants to go with her and go through all everything. So when he's talking about clinging, it means he was glued to her, never to let her go. She wanted to go with her and die there. So you can see the love that was between Ruth and then Naomi. Said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. That people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if of thee death part thee and me. As I said earlier on, Ruth clung to Naomi. Now, what happened? They come to Bethlehem. And then as soon as they got there, the people started calling, oh, Naomi, because he had left them for a long time. And then Naomi said, no, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, which means bitter. For the Lord has done bitterly with me. So don't call me. You see, he didn't know what God was doing. He didn't know that God was behind all these things. Then Naomi and the daughter goes, now they have come to Bethlehem. How are they going to feed for themselves? Now Ruth agreed to go and glean because it was harvest time. The gleaning means they go behind those farmers who were harvesting their barley, and then they were picking the fallen one, the one that was falling on the ground, they were picking it. So he went to do this, and he did not go to any other farm than the farm of Boaz, who happened to be a kinsman of Naomi. All this Ruth did not know. He was just finding a way to feed herself and the mother-in-law. And he happened to go to this man. And when the man spotted her, he just liked her right from the beginning. So she allowed her to glean there. He warned all the laborers to take very good care of the lady. And in the end, she gave her a portion of barley to send to Naomi. And she was surprised. Why should this man show such interest in me when he doesn't even know me? But the man said, I've heard much about you and the way you treated Naomi, your daughter-in-law. So, in short, the girl was now being fed by Boaz. But then Naomi told the girl to go and sleep where Boaz was sleeping. And then she agreed, she went and slept with her, and then eventually she became the wife. And how did he become the wife? Because, like I've told you, according to the Levitical laws, when your husband dies, it is a brother or a family member, a kinsman, who should marry the person so that their lineage will continue to bring children for her. So Boaz was asked if he could redeem the girl. But Boaz said, no, there is somebody before me, so I can't redeem her. Let's call that person. If the person says she can't redeem her, then all these were the workings of God, you know. So in the end, they called the man to come, and the man said, no, for some reason, I can't redeem her. So in the end, Boaz had to marry Ruth. And we know the outcome of that marriage. If you read the whole of Ruth, David is the last person that it ends with. So God blessed them with a child, and from the child comes to David, and from David came the Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friends, look at the whole story. A Moabite, a person, people who were forbidden to come even near to Israel, and then through that person, God is blessing the whole nation. The promise that God gave to Abraham 2,000 years before now is going to be fulfilled through a Moabite, somebody who was an outcast, but God used him. And like I said, we can also see Christ in Boaz. Christ, who also came to redeem us from our sinful state, when all was sin and shame, he came to deliver us from our sin and to give us hope and security in this world and in the world to come. And that is exactly what is happening here. God used the story of Ruth. Why did Papa not come with them? The blessing was going to be through Ruth. So it means God had already planned that this will happen. Ruth will come with Naomi. Naomi will lead Ruth to go and marry Boaz, and through Boaz, the Messiah will come. So friends, there are so many lessons to learn from the life of Naomi and Ruth. The difficulties they went through, and how in all of them, the Lord was with them. The Lord was protecting them, guiding them, and leading them to the promised land. In through him, we are all under our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today. So are you going through any problem? Is something happening in your life that you can't understand? Ask God, as we learn from our hymn, he will let you know the reason. He will make everything clear unto you. Now, we have seen famine, we have seen death, we have seen return. Then, we have seen bitterness, and now we are seeing joy. That in the end, in all of them, it has led to joy. That is why I said from bitter to better. When all this were happening, Naomi never knew the treasure that she was coming with. When he was coming with Ruth, she never knew that through Ruth, such a miracle was going to happen. In the same way, when we are going through problems, sometimes we don't understand, but the Lord will make it clear if only we pray to him. Look at what happened in verse 13, from chapter 4, verse 13 and 15. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For your daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, have borne him. Did you hear what he said? He said, your daughter-in-law, which is better to thee than seven sons. So the woman that he was trying to let her go, because he could not find anything for her, now they say she is better than her seven sons because of what he has done. Now, as we learn from our hymn, I'll just go to the hymn again, and then we come to conclusion. He said, God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. So this is the message of Ruth. Indeed, the ways of God are mysterious, as the hymn is saying. He often brings clouds into our lives, but then the clouds will break with showers of blessings. Behind the frowning providence, there is a smiling face. Even though you were seeing all bitterness, behind God was smiling because he knew what was going to be the end. He knows what he was doing. And God knows the same thing in our lives. Naomi returned to Bethlehem. She could not see the frowning providence. She thought she was just going through. And that's why she was telling them to call him Mara, but not Naomi again. If she had known what God was about to do, he would never have said that. And it's a great lesson for us tonight, friends, that no matter what we may encounter, no matter the difficulty that we are going through, we should know that God is leaving us to do that with a better future. God knows everything. He has control over every situation. He can stop every situation. And when he allows it to happen, he makes it happen for our good. From the beginning, we can never understand. But then, as the hymn writer said, if you pray to him, he will make things clear unto you.